July 18th, 1974.
Could you tell me about your first job in Chicago, how you got it, and...
Well, I came in 1914 to my aunt from Fall River, Massachusetts. And my first home was in Fall River, Massachusetts. There I worked in a jewelry store. And I was making $3 a week. I used to clean watches and sell jewelry. And that was, I used to sweep the store, clean the windows, put out the jewelry in the showcase, and I used to get $3 a week for that.
How did you get that job?
I worked for a cousin of mine. This cousin brought me from Europe, and I worked for him. And I stayed there for a year, and I came to Chicago. And I didn't...
Why did you come to Chicago from the other job?
I didn't like to stay there in Fall River. It was a little town. And I just didn't want to stay there. I had an aunt in Chicago, and she kept on writing I should come here to Chicago.
What kinds of things did she say that made it sound...
That I'll have a home. I didn't have a home over there. I lived with two strangers. So I came here and I lived with my aunt. She was a sister, my father's sister.
Did you know anything about Chicago?
No. In fact, they told me over there, oh, you're going to a city there, there are murderers, there are hoodlums over there in Chicago. But I disregarded everything.
That didn't scare you?
No, it didn't scare me. And I came here. Coming here, I didn't know what to do except in the jewelry and watches. So my aunt had a friend that she was married to a foreman in a tailor shop. And she took me over there to that man in the tailor shop that was Scotch Woolen Mills. At that time, the name of the factory.
Where was it?
On Adams and Hall Street. And they taught me to sew by hand. And,
do you remember, like, your first day of work, or how, you know, what happened when you first went to the shop?
Well, the foreman asked me what I could do. And I said, I don't do anything there. I couldn't even handle a needle. But he taught me how to handle a needle, and I was basting sleeve linings.
The first day?
The first day, yeah. They showed me what to do. They gave me a bundle of linings, and with a needle, with a thimble, and they showed me how to sew big stitches on the lining. And this went to the operator to sew on machine. But I had to baste it first.
The foreman showed you how to do that?
Yeah. And then there was a girl, assistant poor lady or whatever it was, they showed me how to do it, yeah. And I stayed there for a couple of weeks and I didn't make much. So they put me on a different section.
Did they change the section you were in because you weren't making enough, or was that your choice?
I asked them to take me somewhere else to make a little bit more money. I used to make $1, $2. There wasn't any.
How was that determined?
Well, it was I don't know how much by the hundred. It went by the hundred. I don't remember how much that time they gave, 50 cents, 100 or something like that, by 100 bundles, big bundles. Well, I couldn't make anything, so he put me on armhole basting. Armhole basting is the padding to put in the shoulders of a coat. And I started making more money on that.
Was it paying more per piece? Or?
Yeah, that was, I think it paid like 6 cents an hour or something like that.
Did you have any trouble learning that?
Yeah, well, of course, everything you learn, it takes time till you get to know.
Who taught you that?
Also, a man, that sister form, taught me how to do that. Then I worked there, and at that time, the buses were very mean to the people, especially to girls. You ought to do what they wanted you to do. You ought to do, they used to come around and they give you a tickle and give you this and give you that. And if you didn't take it, it was up against you.
Do you have any stories you remember in particular?
Yeah. But I gave the same story already, so I could give it to you too, no? The foreman came around. And he took me from the back, and he took me around with his hands like this here. And I turned around, and I slept. And I was only that time around, maybe 14 years old, 14 and a half years old. 14 years old, that was my age. I was 15 when I came to work to Spitzer. I was about 14 years old.
This was at the Scott?
The Scott's woman, yeah. And when I slept him, the girl started yelling, "Oh, Lottie, what did you do?" And I ran home. I ran home and cried. By the time I come home, he was afraid he's going to get into trouble. So he called his wife. His wife was a girlfriend of my aunt. So he called his wife and told him what happened in the shop. He didn't tell her why, but he told her that Lottie slept there. And his wife called my aunt and said, "Yeah, your Lottie's too independent. She made a lot of trouble to Abe." Abe was his name. And when my aunt was standing on the outside already waiting for me. She said, my aunt said, "Where is she? Where is Lottie?" And she said, "She ran home. I don't know if she ran out of the shop." If I wouldn't have run out of the shop, he would have fired me anyways. So when I came home crying, my aunt said, she greeted me, don't cry, hell with him, hell with him. Don't worry about it, you'll get a job in the city. My aunt said to me. So I understood my aunt knew everything already. Because his wife told him.
That he had done this to me,
yeah. He used to do this to a lot of girls.
Did your aunt know that?
Right, my aunt, he didn't tell his wife that what he did to me. But he told her that Lottie slept in. So when I came in, my aunt understood because he was a woman chaser. So my aunt understood that I must have done something to him. So she said to me, hell with him. Don't worry.
Did she know, do you think she knew something like that might have happened when she got that job for you there?
No, she didn't know it. If she would have known it, she wouldn't have taken me there. She didn't know. So I went out from there, and I started looking for a job. I was very shy.
Do you remember any particular instances when you went in somewhere and asked for a job?
Yes, I'll tell you. I went looking for a job on Market Street. That time was on Market Street, there were factories there, tailor shops. I used to stay for hours in a hall and didn't have the nerve to go up in the shop to ask for a job. Finally, it was getting already late, and in the morning was everything. People were running for jobs in the morning, hundreds of people at that time running for jobs. I decided to go up. And I used to go up so slowly, and they asked me, "What could you do?" And I said, "Well, I basted the iron walls, I basted a slave, but whatever you give me, I'll try to make it. And they hired me. C.B. Shane Company. That Rose worked there later, after I organized a place, she worked over there. Well, anyways, they hired me over there. And, I didn't tell you. Before in Scotch Woolen Mills, I used to work there from 8 o'clock in the morning. I used to come in there at 8 and stay sometimes to 6 and to 10 o'clock at night. And 10 o'clock there was no elevator, and they didn't pay us extra. They paid us as much as they wanted at that time. And
did you record your hours in any way?
I had coupons. I had, but they
what are coupons?
No, they used to give you as much as they want. They used to give you, and I would put in on 100 coupons, and I would find 75 coupons on the car. And there was no elevator. We used to walk down from the 10th floor, walk downstairs to go home. 9 o'clock, 9:30, 8 o'clock sometimes. Whenever they wanted us to work, we had to work. Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. What exactly were these coupons now?
The coupons, it says code Armol code. Code based in Armol coupon. And that was 6 cents, let's say, or 10 cents a coupon.
Did they give you a coupon for each garment you did?
A coat used to have a big card with coupons, a long coupon, sometimes coupons like this. And it was section work. You saw over here the way they were working on all kind of things. It was... A coat maybe went through 100 different hands used to go through.
That was called section work?
Section work. That was called section work. One was working on lining, and one was working on the material, and one was working on basting. Well, basting together the lining, basting in the lining, and basting off the lining. Everybody was doing something else. Everybody... Here, do you see? That was sections. They were showing sections.
Uh-huh.
See? Over here. This is section. Section work. Section work. One was pressing. One was putting in one thing. One was putting in another thing. One was and so on and so on. That was section. And every section had coupons. In every section, they had a lot of people working. It depended upon the section, how much work they had. They had more people working and so on. So I started working for C.B. Shane Company, which it was a nicer shop to work there, a smaller shop. And
how big was Scott?
Scott's Wool Mills. They had three shops. They had a coat shop, a penny shop, and a vest shop. They must have had about 500-600 people working.
You were in the coat shop.
I was in the coat shop. Yes.
Were you in, what was the situation like where you worked? Were you sitting down somewhere?
There were long tables, and girls were sitting. Some sections only girls were sitting, and some sections only men were sitting.
How was that determined?
Tables.
But like, were there only women working on certain sections? Yes,
women were working on certain departments, and men were working on other departments. Men were doing handwork, and women. They were the nicest work was done by men on stitching lapels.
Uh-huh.
Or see, or he's doing a finishing job. Or presses were all men. At that time they had hand presses. Now they have machine presses. Now it's easier.
And why? Do you know why that was? Like why the men were doing the stitching and why the men were doing the pressing? And the women were doing the handwork?
Because the men, a lot of them came from Europe. At that time, where a lot of immigrants came from Europe, they were tailors. So they were doing the finer work. And the women, they were taught a lot of things to do. Now, in Europe, they haven't got no... they had tailors in Europe, too, girls working. But most of the those girls were taught here in this country, not in Europe.
They came. Do you think the majority of women that immigrated to the U.S. were like you, that were unskilled?
Right.
And had to
Right. They were unskilled workers. And men were a lot of working people. They were tailors because they worked in shops. We had shops. By us, and where I lived in Europe, we had a big yard. And in the yard, we had, in the front, we had stores. And in the yard, we had factories. We had two tailor factories in our yard. One was a German fella, and he had men working for him. Plus his daughters, he had a big family. His daughters used to help him in the factory. And the other one was a young man, and he had also men working for him from different cities. But this man was a young man. And the shops were not too big. By us, they were in other cities, they were bigger shops. But in our yard, we had eight men working in the shop. There was a lot already in our shop.
When you were at Scotch Mills, were the rooms small? Were you really?
No, it was one huge room, and that took in all the coat makers. So we had like this here in the shop. Were from the windows up to the to, let's say, about to here were machines, and they were sewing the sleeves, and some of them were sewing in the sleeves, and some of them were sewing the sides, and some of them were sewing the lapels. Everybody did something else. Then came tables. After the machines came tables. A table, and so on. Came tables.
Is that where the handwork was done?
That was the handwork. It was done by the tables, yeah. All the handwork was done by the at the tables. Then we had another room. Was a West shop. The West shop wasn't so big, because West small items. At that time they were West. So these were very small items, but they had about 100 people working there. Then it was a pen shop. A pen shop too, they had about 100 people working.
Did you?
They had a cutter's room too. A cutters and trimmers. They had several floors. I think the 8, 9, and the 10th. They had 3 or 4 floors they had. We were on the 10th floor. They had a shipping room, and they had, it was a big factory. Later, I think, who bought it out? Her checkers bought out later that shop.
Did you meet, while you were at Scotch Mills, did you meet or make friends with any people there?
Yes, I did make friends with a girl, which I was friends with her for many, many years. Her name was Ida Kaplan. My girlish name was Kaplan too. And they were three sisters. And all three sisters worked by us.
Do you remember how you met her?
Well, I sat with her next to on the table. We were doing the same work.
Do you find you had time during the day to talk to people while you were working?
Yes, we would exchange words, but we'd never put our head up. But we were working, and
why
I said next to her.
Why didn't you put your head up?
Because I had to watch my work. It was very particular work to do. And we talked. And I became very friendly with all three of their sisters. And they had a father. The mother was a Europe with three more children. Four children. And the father, they lived on Roosevelt and Racine. They had a little apartment, and the father used to cook and shop for them and wash for them. And the three girls were working. and he used to send money home for the family. I used to come up to the father. He was a lovely man too, the father. And I was there just like his own daughter. He kept me. They used to treat me with a meal once in a while. And I used to sleep sometimes overnight with them. And I kept on with her company after we quit and we got married. She married a student. Later, she worked too yet. And he became a doctor. And I married too, and we were still friends. And it was a very nice relationship between us.
Were there communication problems in the shop? Were there any language problems there?
Yes, we had a lot of Italian women working, which I didn't understand. We had Polish people working. I spoke Polish. I spoke Russian, German.
How did those people know what to do? Was there somebody in the shop that spoke their language that could tell them?
Yeah, we always had somebody, Italian man. There were a lot of immigrants, Italian immigrants, Polish immigrants at that time, too. And there were a lot of Jewish people coming in from Russia, from Poland.
Lottie, how did you feel the first day that you got your job at Scotch? Were you proud or were you confident? Or do you remember how you felt?
I was ashamed, because I was ashamed of myself for what I was doing, because I was raised in a family, my father was a very educated man. My mother, she knew a lot of languages, but she was not as educated as my father was. But she came from a very rich family. And by us, where I come from, especially my family, a tailor and a shoemaker was the lowest profession. The poorest people were tailors and shoemakers. And I, which my father wanted to make everything out of me, I came here and I became a tailor. And I never wrote to my mother and my father that I was a tailor or I married a tailor. I never, never. They always used to ask me in every letter, "What is your husband doing? What is your husband doing?" And I never wrote him what he was doing. Although he was an educated man, my husband. I married him in 1970, but he couldn't make money from what he knew, but from tailoring, he made more money from tailoring, so he became a tailor. He became a foreman. He was always managing shops, but I never wrote to my parents what my husband was doing.
How did you feel it? Do you remember what you felt like at the end of your first day of work?
Yes, I came home very tired. There was also something else I was doing. I was overcoats, you know, overcoats, the fronts, they overlap like this year. So this year, there's a facing over here. So this year, I had to go with my fingers like this here to get smooth, and my fingers start to hurt me. So the foreman said to me, "When you come home, you soak it in hot water if they hurt you." And I came home and my fingers hurt me. And my aunt said to me, and I was crying, my fingers were red and they were sore, and my aunt said to me, "Don't cry, don't go there anymore. If you can't make it, if your hands hurt." And I said, "I have to make a living." My aunt was very poor, and she had five children of her own, and I needed clothes. And I said, "No, I'll go back to work." And I went back to work. And then they gave me the armholes to do. The armholes, when I was doing wasn't so bad. But the other work that I was doing...
You did that for a while, though. Your hands must have...
During the day, one day, my hands got sore, red and sore. They were almost blistered. If you keep on doing this here all day like this here, you know, I'll take a coat and I'll show you what I mean. Heavy overcoat. You see, here's two pieces of material. And when it's raw, it isn't pressed, it's very heavy and clumsy. So you have to get this here like this here, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then your hands get sore. Your fingers get sore. I have blisters almost on my hands. So that's how I came to him and I told him the next day he should give me something else to do. So he gave me armholes to do.
Did somebody else then take your place doing that? Were there a lot of people? People come and go?
Yeah, at that time, yeah, a lot of people. Some people were glad it was hard to get jobs at that time. And people were coming and going. But most of them went through hell, too. They went through. Because it was hard to get jobs at that time. And people were revolting. They weren't get paid much.
Did you feel lucky then at that time that your aunt had found that job?
In a way I did, because I didn't have to go and look for a job. My aunt took me in there and I had a tough time over there. That foreman wasn't very nice to me.
Can you remember any other stories besides the one you told me about?
Well, he talked fresh to me, cracked dirty jokes. Some of the girls used to laugh. Everything he said, they laughed.
How did you feel towards them then, when they laughed?
I didn't like it. I said to my girlfriend Ida, which I was friendly with her, I said, how could you take all that? And she was a smart girl. She used to say, whether I like it or not, I laugh. Because I need a job, she used to say. He used to come, give her a tickle, give her this, a that, a pinch here, a pinch there. I didn't like that.
Did they ever, you know, when he wasn't there, did they ever talk to each other about how this upset them?
No, they never said anything. But
why do you think that was? Do you think they were afraid?
They were afraid to say anything. And we had over there a sister-in-law of that foreman's. His wife's sister worked with us, too. So they were afraid to say something because she'd come home and tell her sister. So they kept quiet. Nobody said anything what happened. But when I slept there, she came home and she said to her sister, why Lottie slept? And she also said her sister that this Ida was taking all kind of crabs from him. And one day she came, his wife came, and she wanted to see who Ida was. She thought that he's having a love affair with her. It was very difficult to work at that time in shops. You ought to be everything. You ought to do everything that they tell you to. Be a sweetheart and be a worker and everything.
Be a sweetheart, be a worker over there. You know, what else did you...
A worker, a sweetheart, and take all the crap with it, whatever, from everybody.
What was the day like, you know? Okay, when did you wake up in the morning and what happened from there to when you got...
I used to get up at 6 o'clock. And I had to start at 8 o'clock, 7:30 I was in the shop already.
How did you get there?
Well, my aunt used to give me 10 cents carpet until I started making a few pennies of my own. And take the bus, it was 5 cents carpet. And sometimes my aunt used to give me a sandwich alone, and sometimes if there wasn't any in the house, so I went without it. And at night I would come home, I would find something to eat. My aunt had six children of her own, and my uncle didn't work at that time.
So you took the bus in the morning and you got to work at 7?
At 7. And sometimes I would work till 10 o'clock, till 8 o'clock, till 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock. There was no limit of time.
Same thing doing. Were there any breaks during the day? Or?
No. There was no... My first coffee break was after I retired. My first coffee break was after I retired. I never knew what it meant, the coffee break. Now they have it very easy.
So you worked straight through from 7 in the morning until...
We used to get 3/4 of an hour or an hour lunch sometimes, a half hour.
What did you do then? Did you sit at your table or did you...
Yeah, I used to sit at a table, read a book, read a paper. There was no time to do anything. Or sometimes I used to prepare needles and thread them.